Good evening. I call to order the Monroe Public Schools Board of Education meeting. Today is March 10th, 2026, and the time is 7:01 p.m. Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Heck.
Here.
Mr. Jenkins.
Here.
Ms. Myers.
Here.
Mr. Sabadini.
Here.
Mrs. Taurasi.
Here.
Mrs. Vincent.
Here.
Mrs. Williams.
Here.
Can we please stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we begin, please note that this meeting as well as being live streamed and recorded. The two cameras in use, one focused on the Board of Education and another that will be used for any public commentary or presentations. By participating in this meeting, you acknowledge that you may be captured on video. As a reminder, if you wish to address the board during public commentary, there's forms back in the corner. Please fill those out and hand them into Jamie, our administrative assistant.
Let me print some more.
Okay.
We'll get you some. Do you still have some? Oh, good.
Okay, there's still
some. Oh, okay. Thanks, Wendy. For those of you in the back, and I don't know if that conference room is filled up, but it is being broadcast into the conference room around the corner here to my left. So you're welcome to go in there and sit down if there's still room. Superintendent Shaw, are there any additions or deletions to the agenda this evening?
There are none, sir.
I have an addition I would like to add to the agenda. I would like to add item 4D, budget planning, under new business, please.
Support.
Very well, thank you. We will add that to... that was new business?
Yeah.
New business. Okay. Very good. Okay. So with the agenda as amended, do I have a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
I move to accept the agenda as stated with item 4D, budget planning, added.
Do I have support?
Support.
Any discussion? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Ms. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mrs. Taurasi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes, and the motion carries. Superintendent comments.
Okay, so for my first set of comments, I've asked Dr. Ray and Kyle if they would come to the microphone there in the middle. They're going to introduce our wrestling coach and a special student, and then they're going to also dive into some varsity spring coaches. Sir, gentlemen?
Let me check my hair before I
Yeah, knew that was coming. All righty. So I believe we're going to start with Brian, wrestling coach. Are we going to start? We're doing that right now? Or?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Brian Shotwell, why don't you come on up here?
So Brian is second year coach.
Yep.
And he's going to tell you about a great experience he just had.
We took over the program 2 years ago. I was lucky enough to have a very large team both years, record numbers for us. Been pretty successful. Last year we took our first girl to states, and this year we took another kid to states who actually got a win at states this year. It happened to be my son. We're super proud of him. He worked really hard to make it to the weight. Sometimes it can be real difficult for a wrestler to make weight, and he went down to 113, which was the minimum his alpha allowed. So it was really challenging, and keeping him on that was hard. He kept his grades up all season. He's done really well. The whole team had a winning record 2 years in a row. We went 16-7 last year. We went 18-7 this year. That being said, we had two of our events were canceled, so I think we did it even a little bit better this year. Just buses couldn't run in the snow. So we had a really successful season. I think we would have had a few more make it out if their emotions wouldn't have took over in their matches. A couple of seniors that really did really well this year had a wrestler break his jaw in his first match and not be able to wrestle until he came into leagues. So we had a tough season, a good season, and I brought Ryder with me. He was our state qualifier. It's Ryder Shotwell. Come on up, son. He doesn't want to say anything. He says all his words are set on the mat.
Yeah, there we go. So Ryder, what school did you up against at state match?
So I versed someone from Heartland, Howell, and Dearborn.
Awesome. And then so I'm going to keep asking questions of you. How did it feel to be on Ford Field wrestling for Monroe Public Schools?
So the emotions were obviously pretty high. I've been doing this for 13 years of my life, and this is what I've worked for to get to that point.
Well, that's a pretty great experience, and it's even a better experience that your dad got to experience with you down there on that field and on those mats. And thank you for representing Monroe Public Schools and Monroe High School at the state tournament this year.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me here.
And I love the red hair.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for that. So what we're trying to do here is, I know we may have some of our varsity coaches with us tonight for spring sports, and so we're going to ask Kyle's going to have them come up. They're going to share who they are. Not all of our spring sports could come in, but we're going to do this again in January or July for our fall, and then we'll do this again next November for our winter coaches so we can meet our varsity head coaches. So, Kyle?
Okay, looking back there, I see Jim Davis. He's one of our track coaches for distance runners. Come on up, Jim. And he's coached many different sports through the years here as well, so I'll let him kind of share some of that.
Hi, good to see everybody. My name is Jim Davis. Like Kyle said, I am currently the distance coach for the varsity track and field team, so I'm representing them tonight. I also coach girls cross country in the fall season, so I look forward to seeing you guys again. We have just over 70 athletes out for track and field this year, including runners, throwers, and jumpers, and we're really looking forward to helping each of those develop integrity and a focus on the team, the importance of the team over the individual, and consistency and mental toughness, all of these things that will help carry them through not only their athletic career but their academic career and their lives moving forward. And so it's a great staff, I think, that will be able to do that for these athletes. Some of our challenges, I think, that we face are just probably similar to a lot of the sports in that we're really working hard to try to keep the numbers of athletes that are out for our teams up at a high level. And some of that is just, I think, part of, the athletes starting to think about having jobs and things that might pull them away from sports. But others is just outreach to the elementary and middle school where we can do better and keep working to let them know we're here and that we want them to be a part of our programs. And it's a great experience that'll help them for life. So I guess thank you for having me.
Andy, if we have questions, it's appropriate to ask it now.
Sure.
I think that one of the questions we have for every coach that comes up here, what can we do resource-wise? Is there anything we can do to help you?
Okay. Challenges besides the numbers of athletes, one of the things that we face with running is that we don't really have any facilities during the winter, the cold seasons, to do that. So I don't know if there are opportunities to partner with other schools or, some way to do that. We do a lot of running in the hallways, which has its challenges, and it's still running, it's still beneficial, and there's a lot of sports teams that are in there running, and we're sometimes in the way of the custodians doing their jobs as well. So I think that part is a challenge that's always been a challenge, and looking for creative ways to address that would be something I know that the track and field team would.
Yeah. So my wife is a teacher out in Adrian, and they're going for a multi-purpose mm-hmm. building on the May ballot. Yep. Looks pretty impressive. I mm-hmm. took a couple photos of it, but that's one of the things they have is the indoor track. So yep. Adrian's a bit of a ride. But
it sure is.
I better get you some time.
Davis, what do you teach, or do you teach?
Oh, I do teach. I teach chemistry and AP chemistry at Monroe High School. Oh,
okay. And what you got a big event coming up here in a couple of
days. I didn't know this was an interview.
it's so, an interrogation. It's not an interview.
Okay, so I've been training really hard as a runner myself, and in just under 6 weeks, I'll be competing in the Boston Marathon. So.
Wow. Wow.
So, cool. them before, Jim Davis.
Oh, my God. You gotta take a
I'm
selfie.
Not accepting that. All right.
You got to take a selfie at the finish line so we can all see it.
Yeah, thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Well, thank you for coming tonight and sharing about our track program.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. All right. Kyle.
I didn't see it. I don't know unless there's someone over in the spillover room
is
over there.
Baseball
but.
Coach here? So, it's spring. It's spring.
Mike. We're picking teams tonight. That's where the coaches are. So it was hard to get them here. So we'll get them here at another time because they'd love to come up and talk to you. But we appreciate you having us.
Thank you.
Kyle, I have a question. Sure. Are we up to questions?
Yeah. Sure.
Pay to play.
Yes.
How'd that help?
We
saw some stats that were very, very good.
I do believe it's helped. Where I think it's going to help the most is those sports that are non-cut sports as well, because those are limited how much team membership we can have in basketball and different things. But as we go forward and move forward with it in track and wrestling, you talked about it. I know bowling saw some significant numbers increase as well. So I do believe that we saw those that impact. And, you know, just – talking with kids too, the easy conversation is sometimes that barrier. I can't ask my mom for that right now, and don't worry about it. Like we can figure it out. So, I think that's what's successful so far. So,
good.
Looking forward to spring. Our middle school season kicks off next week with middle school tryouts, and then we go into track season that following week. So at middle school, yep. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much. So at our next, on the 24th, we'll have any other winter sports athletes to be honored, and then we'll bring in our spring sports that can make it that night, too.
Thank you very much for making that happen.
That's all I have for the first part.
Okay, next is public commentary for board agenda items. Brian, do we have some?
Yes, we do. To give you an idea, we have, I think... yeah, there's 15. There's 15 with the numbering system for this first round. So before we do that, I'm just going to reiterate the public participation at board meetings. The Board of Education recognizes the value of public comment on educational issues and the importance of allowing members of the public to express themselves on district matters. I think you'll find that I'm very fair with the time. 3 minutes is the time. If you're still making a salient argument and you're not repeating yourself, I'll probably let you go a little bit longer until Tom gets mad and we're taking too much time. I would encourage you, participants shall direct all comments to the board and not to staff or other participants, and do not direct it toward one particular board member. That's when we get into a little bit of problem. I don't think we're going to have to go to number one and two, so we're going to let it go from there. So the first one I have is Lindsay. Steve. Did I say it right, Steve?
You did.
All right, good.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you all to bear with me.
Hold on just 1 minute. I got to get my – I did not do a good job of getting my timer ready to go. All right, you can go.
Good evening. My name is Lindsay, and my husband and myself are parents to a third-grade boy at Manor Elementary. I'd like to start by expressing how grateful my family is to have the staff at Manor. I'd like to share a few experiences we have had with SEL and Manor's wonderful support staff. The first few years of school, my son greatly struggled with separation anxiety. If it wasn't for Alicia LeRoy, Melissa Shankleton, Patrick Finnegan, and a lot of the other school staff working with him each morning for the first 10 to 15 minutes, he never would have made it to class. Unfortunately, we've also had experiences that never should have taken place. While volunteering, I have witnessed a teacher experienced with at least 2 decades with Monroe Public Schools abruptly walk out of her classroom. Multiple out-of-control behaviors were taking place at that point in time. She chose to remove herself until support staff implementing SEL methods were able to bring the situation back under control. My son has also been in a classroom when school supplies were used as weapons. He watched a student grab scissors, and state that it was time to hurt some friends. The student opened and threw multiple pairs of scissors at the student sitting on the learning carpet. My son was sitting next to his best friend as one of the pairs of scissors hit his head and scratched his ear. Luckily, that friend had turned his head and was able to avoid being hit in the eye. The students were evacuated from the classroom, and once again, it was our qualified support staff using SEL methods that were able to defuse the situation. Imagine the outcome if support staff had not been available. Imagine the added burden on the teachers without the support staff. These events and behaviors are likely to continue. And without support staff implementing these methods, teachers' times and resources are going to continue to be pulled from educating to handle the behavior issues. I wonder, how many parents will choose to leave the district if this happens? I wonder how many families will be deterred to attend Monroe Public Schools. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, the next one I have is Casey Bross. Hope I pronounced that right.
You did.
Thank you.
Hello, thank you for having me. My name is Dr. Casey Bross. I am a pediatric occupational therapist who works with a lot of the kids that this program affects. I am also the owner of Miniman Pediatric Therapy, which a lot of your students attend as well. I'm also a mom of three small children. So I could stand up here and talk to you from an emotional standpoint of how beneficial this program is for our kids. I could tell you how the kids that we work with directly would not survive in a school without this program. I could tell you about, from a parent standpoint, how unsafe my kids would feel if there were not extra supports in a classroom as the stories that you just heard. I'm sure there's a lot of parents that are going to talk to you today from an emotional standpoint. So instead, I'll switch gears and talk to you from a business owner standpoint, because I know that you're in a hard situation, right? Your numbers are limited, and so you have to look at the numbers, and I understand that. Unfortunately, budget does affect everything. So from a budgeting standpoint, we know that the SE program that we have helps keep kids in school. We service children who have a hard time being in public school systems, so they come to our ABA center instead. Without the supports in school, our children, our patients that we see, would not be able to be safe in a classroom setting. So you would lose a lot of students without the extra support that they need. From a parent standpoint, from a financial standpoint, as we just mentioned, how many parents would pull their kids from a school that doesn't have appropriate supports for our kids. From a teacher standpoint, teaching is one of the hardest jobs that there are out there, and I'm a therapist, so I don't even do this job, right? I was originally going to school for teaching and then changed it very quickly because of how hard it is. So that being said, knowing how much our teachers do on a regular basis, this support is what they need to be able to teach our children, number one, and also to keep them safe. So without the support, it's already hard to retain teachers. It's already hard to get high-quality people to do this job. The money that you would spend trying to gather new employees and how to train and get them set up would also cost a lot. And in general, like, I guess I'll go back to the emotional part, because I think it's very important, but it's a factual part. When I think about school, the reason that we choose to send our kids to school versus homeschooling, which would be significantly easier from a scheduling standpoint, is not the academic component. Like, yeah, that's great. I want my kids to learn that and be exposed to other things. But it's the social-emotional component. I want my kids to know how to be able to handle big emotions. And they can not only learn that from a parent like myself who is trained, but from a third party that has that extra training that can teach our children that. We talk about generational trauma and how much parents only know how to teach their kids what they know. And so having the skills and the training that the staff members in this SE program have are unmatched to what we can do for our kids at home. So I urge you to consider what other options we could do to cut budget versus taking away this very beneficial program. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Amanda Hawes.
Hi, I'm Amanda Hawes, a lifetime Monroe resident, former Custer Cougar, went to the junior high before it was the middle school, high school Trojan, all my life. So I just also want to touch on social-emotional learning and how important that is. Especially I want to call out the mission statement of the agenda for the Monroe Public Schools Board of Education right on page one. Monroe Public Schools will empower each student to achieve their full potential through rigorous and engaging academics, a culture of excellence, belonging, and perseverance, and I want to call out a community of kindness. So I'm here tonight because I'm deeply concerned about the discussion of removing social-emotional learning from our classrooms. It doesn't matter what statistics or talking points are used to justify this. because the reality inside a classroom tells a very different story. If you take SEL away, you're going to create a real lasting problem for both students and staff. Teachers are already asking students to manage big emotions, resolve conflicts, work together, and stay focused on learning in an increasingly complex world. SEL gives them the tools to do just that. Without it, you're not removing a problem. You're removing support that helps classrooms function and help students succeed. It also provides skills students need in the real world: communication, empathy, problem solving, and the ability to regulate their emotions. These are not extras. These are life skills. And anyone here who believes social-emotional learning has no value, I encourage you to spend time inside a classroom. Sit with a teacher. Watch how often students rely on those skills to regulate themselves, solve problems, and to support one another. Students carry these skills into adulthood, the workplace, and their communities. Our students deserve the skills to succeed, not just academically, but as human beings. We need to educate the entire child. Without the tools to manage emotions, challenges don't disappear. They show up as more behavioral issues, more classroom disruptions, and more stress on our teachers. I understand budget cuts must happen, but this is the moment to find creative solutions. Balancing a budget should not come at the expense of the programs that help students grow into resilient, emotional, healthy people. I really hope in the next month you find alternative ways to reduce the budget without removing important and necessary tools from our students and staff. I respectfully urge the board to consider the long-term impact on our students and keep these important supports in place. A $3-plus million cut looks great on paper, but not at the expense of our children's well-being. If the goal is higher test scores and stronger academics, cutting SEL isn't the answer. In fact, it risks making an already challenging situation even worse. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Amanda. Darren. Darren Pokes.
Jamie, it's passing around already.
I come bearing gifts. I know you guys like data, so I brought some data.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Whenever you're ready to go.
All right. I'm Darren Poach, Monroe graduate, 23-year elementary classroom teacher, 8-year restorative practice coordinator, currently serving at Raisinville Elementary. I hold a master's degree in social and emotional learning. As part of my comments tonight, I'd like to share with you some student feedback. One of my tasks as a member of the SEL team at Raisinville is being an instructor of SEL lessons. I complete, on average, 2 visits per month in each classroom. At the end of last year, I surveyed our students in grades 3 through 6 in order to share the data with my principal. The survey was anonymous and asked students to respond to 20 statements by choosing yes, no, or somewhat. Those responses are summarized in the pie charts. The final prompt asked the students to write a narrative comment on their experience with SEL lessons. I believe those responses speak for themselves. Regarding the events of 2 weeks ago, I am curious about a specific item I don't think anyone has addressed yet. A heavily emphasized rationale for eliminating SEL was that it does not improve academics, and MPS should redirect its resources away from it to maximize academic instruction. If I really wanted to, I could use that same rationale to advocate for the removal of anything we provide at MPS that fits this description. That will include offerings such as athletics, theater, choir, orchestra, or anything similar. While I would never advocate for the removal of these important programs, these have cost and are essentially non-academic. Yet they were not targeted, and SEL was. It then makes me wonder, what is it about SEL that had it singled out? The only clue I noticed to this mystery was the identifying of SEL as controversial on February 24th.
1 minute.
Twice. But to my knowledge, this word has not been used to describe any other MPS programs recently, and nobody has ever used that word with me in 6 years of teaching and explaining SEL, so I'm wondering if this apparent controversy is a more significant factor in promoting SEL's removal than academics or finances. It may even be the driving force. Perhaps someone on the board could go on the record and explain this controversy around SEL, and members could share if they believe it or not. That's some transparency I think the public would welcome.
30 seconds.
I have more to share on the necessity of SEL and the people I work side by side with every day, but previous speakers have more than adequately stated why its removal, in my opinion, would quite possibly be the most harmful decision for kids any school board has ever made in the 30-plus years I've worked here. So I'll close by bringing it back to my students. Read their feedback. These children shared connection and being part of something greater than themselves. They shared application of SEL skills to their lives inside and outside of school. They stated SEL helps them learn better. SEL and SEL supports improve academic performance. The existing research on this is well documented. To take this away from our children removes the soul of our schools. This is a legacy-defining moment, one way or the other. What would you like yours to be? The board that ended SEL or the board that saved it? The people will remember.
Thank you. Amy Bednar, am I right?
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good evening. I come to you as a parent and as a grandparent of Monroe Public Schools children, also a graduate of Monroe Public Schools myself, also an educator in Wayne County, where I work with the GSRP program for Wayne RESA. About 90% of the work that I do in pre-K classrooms is around SEL support. Our teachers are struggling. They are fighting for their lives in classrooms. They come to me for help, and the help that I give them is around SEL supports. Our teachers are looking for strategies. They're looking for support. Our families are also looking for those same things. Wish I'd have brought some data. If I had thought about that, I would have brought you some data as well. Love data. But I come to you and I ask you, have you had any training or education in trauma, in ACEs? I'm a Michigan ACEs trainer. Do you know what's happening? The mental health crisis that we're facing as a country, the teacher shortage that we're also facing? Pulling SEL supports from our public schools would be a detriment to our children, to our families, and to our teachers. We have to support them. I feel that taking these supports away, you will see a mass exodus of families who are able to leave the public school system in Monroe because our children need this. I also feel you will see a mass exodus of teachers because there's a huge teacher shortage. They can come over to Wayne County and find a job and be well supported. So I hope that as you think about SEL supports, you take some time. Go into a classroom. Look at what's happening in your schools. There are lots of things going on. My grandchildren are in these schools. They are kindergarten and first grade, and I've seen some things. And I'm telling you, pulling these supports would
be
a detriment to your school. So thank you for your time, and please take this into consideration.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
Ellen Brooks.
I'm nervous. Okay. Hi. My name is Ellen, and I am the parent of a Rainbow preschooler who will enroll in Monroe Public Schools as a kindergartner this fall. I hear you say things about how more than half our population is below the poverty line, and I see you make connections between money and curriculum and bodies in schools. But I'm more curious about these numbers. How many students interacting with registered behavior technicians in their schools this year will be able to look out for my daughter next year instead of scaring her? How many of our staff and students that have had their relationships repaired or reinforced by restorative practice coaches who host peer groups and conferences will go on to teach my daughter how to handle childhood pains constructively? How many violent incidents have been reduced by our SAT processes and the efforts of our deans and our staff who devise and implement positive behavior plans so that my child is not hit or threatened when another child just doesn't know how to express their feelings. I'm so sorry. How many adults can a class of our students list who are not their classroom teacher who have helped them? How many minutes in a day will my daughter lose in instruction when there is no one left to provide trained support to the students who have just as much right to be there, but no one else with the time to teach them how to communicate and manage their feelings and emotions effectively? Put people down enough and they will start to believe it. Kindness matters, and you are putting down the men and women who have poured themselves into a deficit in our community. When you tell them they don't have a purpose or a meaning for our students, when those employees make some of our kids' world go round, you're putting down our teachers who trust and rely on their team. I am raising children, as so many have done before me, and I moved my family home to this community, the one I grew up in, to do it. How many opportunities to foster kindness and empathy will they miss out on if you are only counting dollars and bodies and not the potential they represent?
1 minute.
Last number I'm curious about. Between all of you, how many minutes of physical time have you spent as a sitting board member present in any one of our elementary school classrooms during the working school day? My number, conservatively, has 6 digits. And I wouldn't know what you look like if they didn't record these meetings. A public school district does not pick and choose which parts of the public they serve. They serve those who choose them, each and every one. One team, one family. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nicolette.
I'm going to apologize because I'm not a public speaker, but this is too important, and I'll try not to get emotional. But there was a time when my son couldn't talk at all. Today, he's thriving in general education classes and dreaming about becoming a scientist. Good evening, members of the board. My name is Nicolette Bame, and I'm the parent of a student in the district. I'm here tonight to speak about the proposed cuts to social-emotional learning programs and why these programs matter so deeply to families like mine. My son, Bradley, has autism spectrum disorder. When he first entered school, he was nonverbal. Communication was incredibly difficult for him, and like many children with autism, he struggled with regulating emotions. There were times when frustration turned into outbursts, hitting, biting, or shutting down completely. Not because he was a bad child, but because he simply didn't yet have the tools to communicate or manage overwhelming feelings. When Bradley was diagnosed, the medical system recommended intensive therapies that totaled nearly $90,000 a year, none of which were covered by our insurance. Like most families, we simply couldn't afford that level of care. For families like ours, that leaves a heartbreaking gap, but our school helped fill that gap. Through the support of social-emotional learning programs and the dedication of the paraprofessional, Bradley was given the tools he needed. He learned how to identify emotions, communicate his needs, and regulate himself when things became overwhelming. Today, that same child who once could not speak is now fully integrated into general education classes without a paraprofessional. He participates alongside his peers, communicates clearly, and learns every day. In fact, Bradley is now an exemplary student. His hyper-focus is science, and he may just be the kind of kid who grows to change the world someday.
1 minute.
That transformation didn't happen by accident. It happened because the school invested in the right supports. SEL programs are not extras for many children. They are a bridge between struggle and success. According to the CDC, approximately 1 in 36 children in the United States is diagnosed with autism. And when you include ADHD, learning disabilities, and emotional regulation challenges, the number of students who benefit from social-emotional support becomes even greater. For families like mine, these programs change the trajectory of a child's life. I understand that the school boards face difficult financial decisions, but investing in social-emotional learning is not just an expense.
It is an investment in the success of our students and the future of our classrooms. My son didn't need a miracle. He needed the tools to succeed, and this school gave them to him. Please don't take the tools away from the next child who is still waiting. Sorry.
You're fine. Keep on going.
Okay.
I'm not stopping you.
Please don't take those tools away from the next child who is still waiting to find their voice. Right now, there is another child sitting in the classroom in this district who feels the way Bradley once did, overwhelmed, frustrated, and unable to communicate. The question tonight is whether that child will get the same chance Bradley did. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amanda Althaus.
Good evening. My name is Amanda Althaus. I am coming to you tonight as a community member, a proud former staff member of Orchard Center High School, and the mother of a first grader with significant special needs at Manor Elementary School. I first would like to address the concept of eliminating SEL from the school district. Decisions being made in this space should be both student-focused and data-informed. Data shows that SEL increases not only retention and completion of students and improved academic progress, but provides the foundational and core needs for the development of empathy, managing emotions, and making responsible decisions. In an article by Monroe News in June of 2024, Monroe Public Schools in the community celebrated a double-digit reduction in suspensions and expulsions due to the work happening within this district. My son, along with so many other students, depend on these support services every single day. Without these services, there will be increased suspensions, safety concerns, even quicker teacher burnout, and a direct message to our students, teachers, and families that those concerns are not a priority to this board. In addition to the SEL conversation, I'm here to speak on the idea of moving Orchard Center High School students to Monroe High School. Throughout my time working in Orchard and living in Monroe, I heard a lot of things about that school. Despite the consistent conversations that held a negative connotation, what I saw and what I heard were very different. What I saw were students who were resilient, strong, kind-hearted, and caring. I saw students setting out to create a better future for themselves and staff that would give all they had to protect and provide for the students at Orchard. I had the great benefit of leading a dropout prevention program, helping them to focus on their futures and exposing them to career in colleges or trade schools. I had an even greater benefit to work with the students and families, earning their trust and watching them walk across the graduation stage. For many, they were the first in their family. I'm concerned about the students who call Orchard their safety and their home, and I'm concerned about the impact this will have on the staff, community, and most importantly, those students.
1 minute.
I'm especially concerned about the deep need for these students and how the potential to relocate them into a segregated wing of the same school that many never felt was a right fit for them. The students at Orchard have often felt forgotten, ignored, and not cared about, both in their personal lives and school experiences. Add to this conversation the removal of SEL, and I fear that we will be placing barriers directly in front of the students that need the most support to remove them. Tonight, I ask the board, as you're making decisions that will have a long-lasting impact on this district, to not only consider the data, but to make sure that those impacted have a seat and a voice at this table. Those in the schools every day who truly and deeply understand the needs of our students and the families who stand before you who understand the deep impact your decisions will have. It is imperative that if you do not have the formal education and have not spent ample time in these schools with the staff and students, that you rely on those who have. If the information you're hearing tonight about the significant needs of our students and the district is shocking to you, I would encourage you to reflect upon if you are the appropriate person to make these decisions without the critical input of those I mentioned before. Lastly, tonight I would like to ask you to uphold the mission and vision of this district, which includes empowering students to reach their full potential, not only through academics, but through belonging, perseverance, lifelong learning, and a sense of authentic belonging. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brielle.
Good evening, members of the Board of Education. My name is Brielle Pierce, and I am a senior at Monroe High School. I'm here tonight to speak about something that matters deeply to me, the support staff in our schools. Support staff are often the people working quietly behind the scenes, but their impact on students is powerful. They are the ones who take the time to listen when the students are struggling, who help us stay organized, who guide us when we feel overwhelmed, and who remind us that we are capable of more than we sometimes believe. Since I've been a student at Monroe Public Schools, support staff have played a huge role in my life. For example, my brother passed away my sophomore year. Without Jamila Clark, I wouldn't have known how to handle my grief, let alone make it through that school year. Or even this year, Ron Motika, Alex Russo, and Andre Smith have all helped me when I felt overwhelmed, down, or even when I had problems with other students. My senior year wouldn't be the same without them and many others in the building. Not only these few make a difference, but so does every individual in the counseling center. They offered encouragement, guidance, and patience when I needed it most. They helped me stay on track, believe in myself, and continue moving forward. Because of them, I am walking that stage in MA. For many students, support staff are the difference between feeling lost and feeling supported. They create safe spaces where students can ask for help, talk about challenges, and find solutions. Cutting these positions doesn't just remove staff. It removes lifelines for students who depend on them every single day. Education isn't only about classes and grades. It's about making sure every student has the support they need to succeed academically, emotionally, and personally. I ask you to consider the real impact of the decision you have, the real impact this decision would have on students like me. Support staff change lives. They certainly changed mine. Please don't take the support staff away from the students who need it most. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Courtney Thomas. By the way, thank you for your bravery coming to speak. It's not easy.
We decided to do it together.
I like that. You need a buddy.
We decided that this was a very important thing for us.
Absolutely.
Because we bonded with a lot of our SEL members, and it was important for us.
Well, we're happy to have you here.
Thank you. Okay. Bear with me. I'm not a public speaker, as somebody else said as well. Hello, I am Courtney Thomas, a senior at Monroe High School. SEL staff play a critical role in helping students feel safe and supported. Eliminating these positions would remove some of the resources students have when they are facing serious challenges. For 5 years, I experienced ongoing harassment at school. During that time, multiple reports were made, including police reports, but the situation persisted. My concerns and safety were largely ignored. Sorry, Ed.
That's all right. Take your time. You're fine.
My previous administrators and the former SRO ignored me and all my concerns. The student who was harassing me was protected and I was ignored. The only people who actually protected me were... I'm so sorry. The first people who truly helped me were the SEL staff at the high school. Restorative practice officers Alexander Russo and Ronald Motika, counselor Nathaniel Hoffman, and SRO officer Michael Stahl were the only people who genuinely cared when I came to the high school. They made me feel protected and cared for. They listened to my experiences and took them seriously. Their willingness to step in and make a real difference during the time when I felt completely disregarded and unsupported by the system. There's approximately 1,200 kids at Monroe High School. Let's say there's also 200 staff members. This would leave Mandy Bomia, Bryant Weems, Michael Foley, and Steve Plitzy to handle all of these student staff and all the issues with no assistance. Such as when there is an issue between staff members, a staff member and a student, or a student and a student, they go and see Motika. If there is a freshman or a senior, they go and see Russo. If there is a junior and a sophomore, they go and see Andre Smith. Counselors Tammy Smith, Isabella Hutchinson, Lisa Warnke, Rachel Combs, Adam Tylinda, and so many other people detrimental to helping people just make it through high school. I strongly urge the board to reconsider eliminating these positions and instead continue supporting the staff who are working to make our school safer and more supportive for students. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, Holly Zalewski. Hope I pronounced it right.
You did.
Okay. That's my biggest fear up here is mispronouncing names.
Well, you did great. I'll have to bring this down a little bit. Good evening. Thank you for welcoming me up here tonight. My name is Holly Zalewski, and I have two children in MPS, and I also work at Raisinville as a sub-assistant. In this role, I have the unique opportunity to be able to see the ins and outs of many classrooms in our building. I've also been able to witness SEL lessons in classes ranging from young fives to sixth grade in the 3 years that I've worked there. I've actually sat in on a lesson just today with our kindergartners and Mr. Poach. I believe SEL is an extremely important component to ensuring all students are successful in all learning areas in the classroom, and removing programs and staff is, in my opinion, in direct conflict with the very own mission and vision statements of our Monroe Public Schools Board. I've listened to a board member say teachers have taught for generations and didn't need entire SEL programs. But looking around this room tonight, I'd venture to guess that that board member may just be in the minority. It's also a guess of mine that some of the board members haven't spent much time in a classroom by easily making comments, and I quote, "You put your money into education and deal with the other things when they come up." My question is, define the other things. And what does that look like? Who deals with the other things if these teams and programs are eliminated? If you posted during your run for election that, again, I quote, "We must see and hear the children first and then improve their education and experience and outcomes," and now you're against the SEL programs, we see you. It is my hope that this board actually does what we've heard time and time again, which is to put the students of Monroe Public Schools first. Thank you to the teachers, administration, community members, for showing your support tonight. We see you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bill Lavoie. Can you talk at the end? You mean the second round of comments?
Yes.
I got you. Okay.
That's what I wanted to know.
Okay. Put that for the second round. Okay. Just keep us straight. Yep. She's got
it.
Jamie is keeping me straight.
I got you.
This is a long list. Has anybody went through this many so far? Nicole. Nicole P.
Would be me.
Can you pronounce your last name? I'm sorry.
Yes. My last name's Pipo.
Pipo. Okay. Yes. Thank you very much.
So my name is Nicole Pipo, and I am an independence facilitator and a mother of a child at Manor Elementary. Working in the school, I see firsthand just how important SEL is in education, from a kid who may be pushed on the playground to one who might just be sad and need someone to a kid in full-blown meltdown over something that may seem minor in our eyes, but to them, it's everything. How can we expect teachers to juggle an entire classroom while also handling the support needs of children who may be in crisis? I ask this as a mother to a child who would truly not be able to be in the public school system without the help of support staff. To him, they are the people who are a safe place to land, can let him ride out a meltdown in a safe place and help him back to his feet afterwards. My son seeks out the support staff at his school. They're his favorite people, and they get on his level and truly want to help him succeed in whatever he chooses to do as a kid with enough challenges he's facing on a daily basis. Please don't take his safety net away. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Katie Beth Davis. Katie Beth Davis.
Good evening, everyone. Katie Beth Davis, Monroe High School, class of 02, and I have a son and daughter at Custer Elementary in second grade and fourth grade. My kids have gone through Monroe Public Schools just like their mom. But it is a lot different now that my kids are in school than when it was when I was there. When I was at Monroe High, we were a blue ribbon school. And now, you know, we're begging kids with Chick-fil-A cards just to get them to come on attendance and count day. I also have high anxiety. When I drop my kids off at school and I get text messages or notifications on my phone, each one I think is going to be from Monroe High Schools with an alert that there's been a shooting. There's been several instances of threats in the last few years. Several classrooms, going all the way back to mine, that, you know, we've had kids that have committed suicide. We've had kids get in trouble with the law. And we've had kids that have, you know, not the greatest home lives. I know in my kids' earlier days of getting into kindergarten and first grade, we were fielding chairs sometimes. Sometimes we were just really grateful that, you know, nobody was hurt. And it's like, did you learn today? What did you learn today? You know, I could care less what my kids learn at this point. I'm just wanting them to come home and be alive. It is a daily struggle, and it's been like this. And, you know, I wish that there would be as much attention to the budget and funding for these programs as there is as much attention for bathrooms. 'Cause I've seen so many advocate for the use of who goes to the bathroom, but this is something that is going to affect every single student, every single teacher. I'm also here to advocate for the high school athletic director, Chet Hesnan. He has been suspended way too far, or whatever it is that's going on in there. My kids also wanted me to ask that they put air conditioning in the schools, too. Thank you so much.
Cody Crutchfield. Cody Crutchfield. Is Cody in the overflow?
Yes.
You're stuck over there in the overflow?
Yep.
Come on in, Cody. Whoa.
Hello. So I'd like to echo some of the concerns that others have shared regarding cutting the program for social and emotional learning. I feel like many of the points made before deserve being repeated, but I'll share a bit from my own personal experience. Growing up as somebody on the autism spectrum, I had a very difficult time in the public schooling system, where, needless to say, like many autistic people, I was the victim of various forms of abuse from first grade until graduation, and a lot of the time, I did not have the language to describe the kind of abuse that I was enduring, and so wasn't able to communicate it to others. Sadly, that left me feeling like I was alone for most of my life because other people couldn't see what I was going through and I didn't know how to communicate it. I feel like if I had been given such education of social-emotional learning when I was a child, I would have been able to communicate to others and maybe have received better help. And maybe even been able to help with my own emotional and mental health when I was a child, especially after my own mother's death, when my father and sister grew more distant from me. Make me feel even more alone. See, it's not just within the school system, but outside the school system that programs like this can help people in general. And I feel that cutting that would deny a lot of children not only the help that they need, but it would deny them the empowerment that can come from being able to identify the kinds of harm that they may be subject to. I had learned as a child very much that some people may pretend to be your friend, but they're really out there to hurt you. And I learned that it was too late. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Cody.
Thank you.
I believe that's it for the first round.
Okay. Thank you, Brian. Next on the agenda is staffing, contracted services, and resignation reports. Are there any discussion or questions from the board members on these topics?
No.
Hearing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Are there any items on that board members would like moved off the consent agenda and moved over to new business? Hearing none, can I get a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda as stated.
Do I have support?
Support.
Discussion? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Yes, Ms. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mrs. Taurasi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Mr. Hack.
Yes, and the motion carries. Next, we'll be moving into new business. Before we move into new business, I want to provide some background and context to our agenda items. All items on our new business agenda have either been discussed in depth at a prior work session or have been addressed in our weekly board briefs. So we may move through some of these topics quickly, but they've been thoroughly discussed in those venues. And as a reminder, all our work sessions are open to the public as well as live streamed. So next I'll turn it over to Superintendent Shaw for the Section 105 opt-out resolution.
Sorry about that. So annually, the Monroe Public Schools and schools around Monroe County opt out of 105, which is our school of choice program that is done by the state of Michigan. And by doing so, we're going forward with the Monroe Public or Monroe County School of Choice program. Monroe County School of Choice program is one where we open up a window. That window stays open for a period of days. We communicate out, and it's a requirement of a 1% release. So, for example, Monroe Public Schools would release 44 students and so on and so forth. And parents do have the ability to receive a waiver. It's a hardship waiver if they miss that window, and so that is the election of the superintendent if they so take and approve that waiver. But for the purposes of tonight, though, is we're asking the Board of Education to approve the section of 105 opt-out resolution as presented.
Thank you, Superintendent Shaw. Can I get a motion regarding the Section 105 opt-out resolution?
I move to approve Section 105 opt-out resolution as presented.
Support.
Any discussion?
So when I first heard about this, I wasn't quite sure what it was. And as I'm not sure that everybody knows what this is, so the schools in the area, because in order to make sure, you know, we don't want everybody leaving all the schools and all going to different schools in the way, and Angie, catch me if I'm wrong. So they made an agreement that 1% of students would be able to move within the schools within our area. And so this is us opting in and out. So you have to opt out of one and into another to say, yes, we're going to work with the other schools and only move 1% of our students. As Andy said, there's a window to open, and sometimes I'm not sure if parents are aware of that. So there's a really clear window that says if you want to make any changes or someone wants to come in order to make sure you get your name in and let you be known. So that's what this is. So hopefully that helps.
Okay. Thank you, Darla. Any other discussion or questions? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mrs. Taurasi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Ms. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Hack.
Yes, and the motion carries.
So in our next item, it's Section 105C opt-in. And what the C stands for is counties. And so it's a contiguous county. So what this would permit Monroe Public Schools to do is to allow students to enroll from outside of our county. And so that's what this would allow for happen. And otherwise, if we don't take that, then no one can enroll in our system. So and it's a contiguous county, which means it touches our county. So, for example, Wayne and Lenawee and Washtenaw.
Thank you. Can I get a motion regarding the Section 105C opt-in?
Move to approve Section 105C opt-in resolution as presented.
Support.
Discussion? Hearing none. Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Yes. Mrs. Taurasi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Ms. Myers?
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini?
Yes.
Mr. Hack?
Yes, and the motion carries.
All right, E-rate purchase. Mr. Payne?
Thank you, Superintendent Shaw. We're asking the board to approve the purchase of the following wireless and firewall hardware, training, configuration, and installation for the district from People Driven Technologies for a price of $721,774.40, as well as a network rack replacement from Red Letter Productions for a cost not to exceed $17,386.88. This purchase would be funded by the technology millage as well as the general fund. And I also have Mr. Hauser here. He's worked very hard on this project to really move the district forward with network purchases at a very, very reduced cost. So I'd be happy to answer any questions or Mr. Hauser.
First, let's get a motion. Do I have a motion regarding the E-rate purchase?
I move to approve the purchase of the following wireless and firewall hardware, training, configuration, and installation for the district from People Driven Technologies for $721,774.40, as well as network rack replacements from Red Letter Productions for a cost not to exceed $17,386.88.
Do I have support?
Support.
Discussion?
Yeah, I got one question, Mr. Payne. I know it's supposed to come out of the technology budget. How much is coming out of the general budget?
So, great question, Mr. Jenkins. Actually, the way it breaks down is usually about an 80-20 split. So about $143,000 will come out of the tech millage, and $23,000 will come out of the general fund.
Okay.
Say those numbers again.
Yeah. Yeah. Those didn't add up. That didn't add up.
So the way the E-rate works is you get, every 5 years, you get a pool of money based on your student count, and roughly ours is around $1 million. So this round of purchasing, it was a total equipment of about $750,000, let's say. Of that, we get an 80% discount. So our cost to purchase $750,000 worth of equipment is about $170,000. Breaking down, the reason that $23,000 is there is some buildings don't qualify for E-rate because there's no students. So this building here at the administration, as well as Fenmore, the operations center, would not qualify. So anything that we do in those sites would have to be paid for through general fund. But I will say, and Mr. Hauser shared as well, is this is very aggressive. So this $750,000 is roughly 60% off list price. And then after that, we get that 80% discount. So this is a huge opportunity for Monroe Public Schools to kind of leverage this money so when we get the millage renewed, we can use that directly in the classroom or in the students' hands. This is a lot of the network that allows that equipment to work.
So to understand you correctly, the millage money, if the millage were to pass, would go directly into the classroom, not involved with this purchase?
Just $100,000 of it would be it.
$100,000.
Yeah. Okay. $143,000
from the millage.
And we have that in our current budget to handle that purchase out of this year's budget.
Even if the millage weren't to pass.
Go ahead.
One more clarification, the amount for general fund.
Was $23,415.64.
Thank you.
So we had a conversation a little while back, and it was about, you know, we're going to do a halt on purchases and spendings until we're able to look at some budgetary items. I understand, and what I heard was that there are other purchases that will come out of the technology fund when the technology fund passes. So the technology fund, I would like to see that pass before we move into committing ourselves to $700,000. I understand the E-rate is covering its portion. I understand that. I understand that portion. But what I'm suggesting is, well, I thought that was what was said. We're going to hold off on any types of purchases for things like that. So I know some people, $100,000 doesn't sound like a lot of money because out of the technology fund, right? Technology fund.
$100,000.
I mean, yeah. So I know it doesn't sound like a lot of money, but it is. So my question is, why do we need to do it now, and why can't we wait and ensure that that technology fund passes? We got those funds before we move forward.
If I may, Mr. Payne, the technology millage funds that Dave is referring to is the funds that we're receiving currently. We are receiving technology millage fund disbursements for 25-26 school year currently. That's the budget he's speaking to at this point. The plans are if, hopefully, the technology renewal is approved and then there's additional purchases of refreshing equipment for the students. This purchase is not out of the future technology millage. This is out of the existing. And we are also limited by deadlines for E-rate. If we don't use these funds for this project, we would lose the opportunity to use those funds, and so we would lose that 80% discount.
So when is the end date on that? Like, what's the cutoff date? We have until when?
We'd have to check the actual date, but I believe we have to get it approved first by the Board of Education.
I'm just looking at a timeline here and how everything lines up. That's my suggestion, is let's look how things line up. I mean, you know.
Well, I would recommend, though, the reason, that the other thing is we have a lot of equipment in the district. So our choices are we could halt on this, but we would have to purchase maintenance. So Mr. Hauser actually gave us a timeline. So, for instance, if we did nothing, we would be spending $63,000 just to maintain the old equipment. So it's one of those things where you get such aggressive pricing, and we've also included the maintenance in the next plan. So for the next 5 years, the general fund or the technology budget would only incur that those two initial costs that I would.
So why don't you maybe explain, because I thought, so are we replacing old equipment, or are we adding in new equipment? Are we maybe explain.
Sure.
I mean, $700,000 of equipment is a lot of equipment. What are we getting?
So the majority of the purchase, and Mr. Hauser, if you want to step up to ask questions, answer some of this, but majority of it's the wireless access points. So if you see those, they're in every classroom. They help sporting events, the arrival and dismissal area for buses. That's the majority of it, but it's also some network equipment as well as some network racks.
Absolutely. As Mr. Payne's kind of explained, there's actually four projects within the E-rate project that we're looking at. The first one and the largest sum of it is our wireless infrastructure, and it's a replacement of our existing. It would be a one-to-one replacement of every single access point in our district. Many of them are aged back to purchased prior to COVID times, I would say. They were ones approved and purchased for when we were enhancing our infrastructure in our large meeting spaces to accommodate teaching in the buildings in the large open areas, as well as outdoors, as well as all of our other access points, a total of 610 district-wide. With that also comes the infrastructure and the maintenance support contracts and everything needed for that for the next 5 years. The second part we're looking at is our firewall, which is the core of our entire network. All traffic comes in and out through that firewall and protects our district from attackers and helps to mitigate any problems that come into the district. So this is in replacing our existing with what we truly need as a district for the amount of traffic we have. Our current firewalls are, to be honest with you, not quite adequate. They are starting to show their age and their limitations of when we purchased them last, due to the extreme cost of them last time we purchased it. The third part is the network rack replacements, where we have a few locations where just increase of usage of things such as our PA speaker systems and other things have just filled those network spaces too tightly for any future enhancements. So we just want to increase those. And that's the project with Red Letter that we have. The last one is APC batteries. This is just to replace some aging batteries and to add some enhancements so that we could try to have all of our network racks district-wide running and maintained for 45 minutes up to an hour, hour 15, in event of a power outage. So that way security cameras, access control, PA systems would continue to function in that issue. The things that Mr. Payne was also bringing up with about the aggressive pricing. Actually, with the wireless, we received a 73% discount on the list price. And this last week, the list price even went up per access point $400. So if I was to go and re-request this quote, it would be for every access point an additional $100 at this point. So that is one other reason with the high demand of as you've been hearing, of memory and things of that nature. Anything with memory is becoming difficult to obtain. So it is making things very expensive and difficult in the technology space right now.
That was a fantastic explanation. Absolutely. Of a bunch of things. I'm sure. When we talked about the wireless replacement, you mentioned our last one was approximately, I believe you said, like 5 or 6 years old. And then I think you believe you mentioned this one, probably the maintenance for 5 years.
Yes.
So is that what we're anticipating, that these are approximately about every year, 5 year replacement?
At minimum, five. Sometimes they can last longer. Depends on the technology. The biggest challenge we had in our existing system is we kind of have half of old and half of slightly newer, so it's not all built on the same infrastructure. And as some of the devices are aging, they're losing their ability to support them properly. So this kind of gets everything on the same model across the board and allows us to function far more effectively.
Okay. The other thing you mentioned was replacing our current firewall. What did you mention about an extreme cost?
So when we looked at we replaced our firewall, I believe we did this in our last, might have been in the previous E-rate, or it was sometime in 2021, if I recall. The extreme cost back then was the connectivity of a 10 gigabit connection. To go to a 10 gigabit connection back then, they were very expensive, and the district funds just could not have supported it at the time. We weren't able to take it at E-rate at the time. We had to use normal technology millage funds just because of the timing. It's when we had some issues take place in the district security-wise. And we purchased the firewalls to meet the needs at the time. But now those costs have come down for the main limitation, which was that bandwidth speed, the network traffic speed. So we're able to get a more effective firewall that will handle for future growth instead of one that just barely meets what we need today.
What's an enhancement on aging batteries?
The enhancement? So
yeah.
What it is, so we have two different parts. The some of them are replacement batteries. We're purchasing replacement batteries. The batteries we use in our systems are lead acid. They have a lifespan of 3 to 5 years. So we have many of our APCs we've been managing and replacing as we've been able to. But since E-rate funds is able to help us and assist us, we included that in this to help alleviate some of the costs to the normal technology funds to get that advantage of E-rate, the 80% off. So that way we could replace additional batteries that are going to be needed in this next year, as well as add expansion batteries. So think of it as adding a second battery to your car. I can go longer on that battery. That's going to give us that duration that I was talking about to get up to an hour, maybe an hour and 15 in many of the areas throughout the district.
How often do we get E-rate?
Every 5 years.
Yep.
So thank you for your explanation.
No problem. I
think I've got a greater understanding of what this is and appreciate it.
One more question.
Absolutely.
David, you mentioned there's a deadline. We need to do this E-rate if we're going to do it. What's that deadline?
So when I talked to our E-rate consultant, she informed me that March 23rd was the latest that she needed the paperwork, basically the signed contracts, so that we could submit those. I believe it's called a 471. Cassie, if you could. Is there 470
or 471? Or 471. I never know which one is.
I always get them backwards. So so that she could submit that for approval. And then that goes off to the federal government for approval for the funding to either reimburse.
That's pretty much guaranteed.
Or generally, yeah. But, we still have to go through the process.
Thank you for coming.
Not a problem.
David, you're and Kevin, I appreciate your optimism on technology. It's obsoleting itself so fast now, it seems like that 5 years would be great. Just one more time, 23,000 general fund, plus or minus any factor that you can see?
I talked to Mr. Hauser earlier, and actually Cisco is going to honor the quote.
Okay.
Right now, Dell is actually, if you get a quote, after 2 weeks, they can turn it down.
Right.
So we're getting well over $1 million worth of district equipment for less than $200,000. And it really puts us in a place that we don't have to use that money, that the millage or the district funds later on when you have failures or a vendor decides to no longer support something, you have a problem. I mean, it's not something we enjoy, but maintenance costs become an issue for everything now. You can't just buy a computer anymore. You have to by support, and it's just, so we have to do everything in our power to leverage every penny we can to get as much out of it. And I think Mr. Hauser done an excellent job to get the district in a place where we can leverage this much equipment for that little of a cost. And
so how much money is left in the technology fund to get?
As of right now, or?
Yeah, before the renewal. Because you said we have enough to get through the year. Was it the school year or the calendar year?
I always speak in fiscal year terms, which would be the school year.
Okay.
The current millage also goes through, so this is the 2020, the renewal is for the 2027 levy year, which would be our 27-28 school year. So we still
have.
Oh, so
we have a whole nother school year. Yes, okay. I was doing calendar.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The levy is calendar, but we receive it. It's a winter tax, so we start receiving them in December through March.
Using it this way is not going to affect us for needing stuff coming up later on.
Yeah. We try to use the funds so we always have a year buffer. So if something were to happen, we don't just go, oop, last check, we can't buy anything. So we really try to plan ahead as much as possible. So if something were to happen, we wouldn't be stuck or have to put an undue burden on the district funds.
And protect the general.
And keep the classrooms running. Teachers count on it, staff count on the technology.
If this doesn't pass and we go the maintenance route, where would that $60,000-some dollars come from?
It would be up to Mrs. Shook, but probably the district funds and tech millage. And then there's also, let's say we didn't do this at all, each year there's a reoccurring cost. So in the next 5 years, if we weren't to buy this equipment, you have well over $400,000 worth of maintenance costs just to maintain it. So.
Okay. Any further questions? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mrs. Vinton.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Ms. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mrs. Taurasi.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes. And the motion carries.
Thank you.
So we do have new business item D, budget planning, that was added.
Yes. I asked budget planning to be added just for a brief moment. There was a lot of information that was presented last night on the budget, and I don't know if everybody's aware or not, but it was the first time we've seen some of that information. So we're going to have upcoming meetings based on the information that was presented last night. I just wanted to put forth and add a few questions in that came up for me so that we can include them at our next planning meeting. I wanted to highlight the Orchard Center change, and I had questions there. I kind of did a breakdown because you gave us a staffing chart, so it provided a lot of information. But I kind of wanted to delve into that some more, into the impact on the staff. I know when we moved 5-6 building, there was a lot of discussion on the impact of the students. And how are we going to address, because change is hard for students, and I don't need to tell you. You all are aware of what change affects. So to make sure that we're being mindful of how that would impact those students if that plan went forward. We're not saying that it did go forward or not, but I'm asking for that. The other thing I looked at was the teachers. Cindy had given us a chart. It was like this wide. But it gave us an overview of all of the staffing positions because staffing positions have come up. So in there, you know, we look at the teacher ratios. I did write down all of the staff, all of the support staff, and wrote all those numbers and all of those things. But when we go to our next budget planning, I would like to look at where we as a board would like to see our staffing ratio set from teacher to student, and possibly from even, mainly teacher to student. I don't want to get too much in the weeds for anything else, but student tech teacher. Because there is, like we said, there is tough stuff coming up, so I want to make sure we get as much information as we can from the next meeting. That was all I had.
I think the one data point that I would ask for is current classroom size and expected classroom size with the change. That's something that's going to be critical for me as we look toward what we're going to do.
So when I did the numbers, like, I based it on, like, 4,400 students, which is approximate. I know we have a little less than that. Total staffing of teachers and to students. And my ratio was 28 to 1 just based on the overriding numbers. So I don't know where that sits. So clarification on that and where we sit on those numbers would be definitely beneficial to know where we sit so we can move forward. So that would be helpful as well.
Any other questions regarding the budget? Hearing none, we'll move on to old business, and I'll turn it over to Superintendent Shaw.
So we were asked to put transportation update on there, and so we went through last couple of board meetings, and so those the board purchased two new buses, and at the last meeting we were able to make that next purchase of the remaining used buses, and so my ask is transportation update still need to be on here, or is it good enough now to be just given to you through board briefs?
So I think that we've completed what we needed to complete in the purchase of the 10 buses, so I don't think transportation needs to be continued on new business. I don't think it needs to go to old business, too. But that,
oh, it's
that's
under old business.
I mean, I don't think it needs to be on there at all, but that's just my thoughts on it. I think we've completed that thoroughly. Yep.
I just wanted clarification.
Just one question.
Well, I'm only one person, so maybe ask everybody too.
The two buses that we purchased with the sale of Navarre Field, they are now currently available to use?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Well,
I know they're,
I don't know for a fact that
I know they're in our possession. Okay. I'm not sure if all the there was some things that Miss Morey.
We are.
Yeah.
The biggest thing we were waiting for was the Herkimer to get the radio. Cameras, we have to be able to do radio.
I was going
to
say there was something that Ms. Maurice said needed to be addressed before they could, and it wasn't the camera. So thank you for remembering it was Herkimer.
And I just ask in board briefs, let us know when they're literally on the road.
Yep.
I think it was Patty or Karen said that if the routes, any routes then in the future gets over.
Yep.
Over those time frames for which we like to keep them under, they would let us know. So
don't we still have to do a replacement?
So we already at the last board meeting you approved.
Yep.
The
seven
plus a one lift bus.
Yes.
We're not making. We didn't set a plan to do future.
That's
not
fine.
Yet.
No.
I think we'd probably do that after budget.
Yeah, well, and this is these buses are the way we've kind of set it up is we won't be able to do anything with any more buses for 3 years. We kind of set it up in that.
We do need to come up with a plan, though.
Absolutely. Yes.
But because you mean to pay off the loan.
Yeah, so we established it in a format to where it's just over $300,000 a year for that loan. And so the thought pattern was that would create your plan of a two-bus replacement after that. Yeah.
So that $300,000 would continue and hopefully replace two buses, and they don't continue to go over $150,000 a bus.
Did we take possession of those buses yet?
That won't be until July.
July.
Yeah. The seven won't be until July.
If I may, the used buses are lease returns, so they wouldn't be available until July, and then the lift bus wasn't readily available, so that has to be produced.
Because that was a new purchase.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
And we're still, we did submit everything to Midwest Transit to get everything locked down and then lift bus ordered. So Ms. Maurice and I are working together to determine when the closing needs to occur because I don't want to do the closing too soon and just have the funds sitting there. I'd like to have it be an in and out.
Finance people tend to be like that.
Okay. So we'll keep the board updated through our board briefs from this point forward, and transportation update will now be removed from old business.
Okay. Thank you.
Next one that was it moved from old new business from our last meeting to old business is SEL discussion. So I'll turn it over to you, sir.
Okay. I guess I'll open it up to the board. Any questions, discussion on SEL? We've certainly heard quite a bit over the last two nights from the public and from some of our staff. Any further questions or discussion?
Yep. So I didn't attend the February 24th meeting, but this evening, board members, I did email everybody three peer-reviewed resources. It was around 4:45 this afternoon. These three articles look at SEL programming from three very different perspectives. So one is looking at SEL programming from a multi-year perspective. One shows SEL programming and the impacts it has on teacher experiences and their efficacy in the classroom. And then one focuses on how SEL programming mitigates the impacts of the school closures during COVID. All those are from peer-reviewed journals that are international for some of them. The PDFs of all of those are included in the email that I sent, as well as a complete references list for your review. Because, I think it is fair to say that the messaging that we've received is positive. The emails as board members that we've received are in support of SEL. We have yet to have anybody come to public comment and say, yes, this program is something that you should eliminate because it makes sense. We have yet to receive an email from somebody that says, yes, it makes sense to get rid of this program because we understand that budget cuts are necessary. I, just like sharing last night, I think Mr. Shaw's presentation about making those cuts equitably across programs, across different aspects of this district, is what we need to focus on.
Thank you for providing that information. Mary.
Experience. Yep. In addition to what Mary sent out this afternoon, I sent out some examples of MindUp curriculum for different age groups. I know MindUp is one of the programs we do use for SEL. So certainly take a look at that. I think it would give us a little bit of insight to how it's used in the classroom.
So I didn't get your email, Mary. I don't know why. So if you can check that I'm on there. I did get the MindUp information. I appreciate that. And I think I read through that at length. But I also apologize that I was not here on the 24th. I had a terrible bout with the flu, and you wouldn't have wanted me here to share that with you. And as a former school counselor, 16 years experience, I would have hoped to also include my voice in that discussion. So thank you all for sharing the last couple of evenings. We appreciate that you're here. Sorry that we've taken so much time from you on these wonderful sunshine and warm days when you could have been doing other things, visiting parks with your children and grilling outside. But thank you for being here, and we hear you.
I'd like to add, it's been a pretty emotional night, and last night was the same way. And I know you all feel that, but I want you to know that, at least from this board member, it's difficult. And I think we talked about this before. This is not a world in which it's no SEL or all SEL. This is a world in which we have to find a way to make it work. Because I do believe, as I was listening, I kind of reflected back on my daughter's journey through Monroe Public Schools. And I would say that she benefited greatly from SEL. Now, I thought about my journey 35 years ago when SEL never existed, and you were a hyper kid or you were whatever you were, and there wasn't much other than that. And if you were a kid that was doing well, it didn't matter. If you got A's, great. You might have been struggling inside so much, but as long as you're getting A's, it was all good, right? And I don't blame my parents at all. That was a world that we lived in. And I know if they knew today what they would have known, they would have helped me in those ways. The voices of the students, Briella and Courtney, thank you so much. That was brave to do, and that's important feedback that we need to hear. And keep doing that. Keep speaking up for yourself. Advocate for yourself, because it's important. I said before, this is a deliberative process. We started this a while ago, and we've been talking for a while, and you guys added context to what a deliberative process needs. We needed to hear from you. So I thank you for giving up those two nights, some of you, and some of you that only gave up one night, because I know I heard each and every one of you, and I didn't just listen, I heard you. And as we move forward, I think we're committed. I'm still committed to the timeline in which we said is we're not making any changes to SEL until we get to that April 1st or whatever the date was for more of the hard information on what the budget's going to look like. And I'm still committed to that process. So I look forward to figuring out ways in which we can make this stuff work.
Just to add on to that is this is more for the parents in the room, the staff, and the administrators understand this is the vast majority of SEL is actually funded through grants, which are very specific. And when we talk about budget cuts and our budget issues, it's with the general fund. So there are funds there for SEL that are specifically assigned through the grants, and we can't touch those other than their specific uses. So what we're actually talking about in the general fund is a very minor part of SEL.
So I want to say thank you to all of you that came. One of the things that we do when we sit up here is we sit here and we sit here, and it's just us. And so we sit here and we say, okay, well, what are our ideas and what do we think? And, you know, I had very strong ideas about SEL, and I voiced them. And that's what we do. And then we discuss, we debate, we deliberate, we listen to everybody's voices, we listen to what it is, and we come to some end result. So there's been a lot of things that were said, and I have a hard time even just looking across at Leah Morelli, because I see, you know, and not everybody, but yeah. But when I looked at the emails, and we got a few emails, there were a couple of emails that stood out to me. And I don't want to use anybody's name because I didn't ask their permission, but I think it would be okay to address their questions. And in the email, it was a long email, but the very two questions at the end were, if you eliminate, quote, SEL positions, who will do this work and address social-emotional needs of students, and how will you ensure we do not have a decrease in achievement? I thought, well, that's a really valid question, because what do we focus on? We focus on achievements. We focus on outcomes. Many parts of our I'm not usually one that writes anything out and reads it, but I'm going to do that a little bit here right now, so my apologies for reading out. I wrote that there's many parts in the education system, and to watch, our job is different than all of yours' job. Our job is to watch, evaluate, look at data, and look at outcomes. That's what we do here. Andy calls it the 30,000 foot view. So if you think if you're in an airplane and you're looking from 30,000 foot, I want you to know that's probably where we're looking for, sometimes a little lower than that. But that's the view that we have. I said there's times on a board that data and outcomes, the adjustments are required. Andy said last night, and if I'm not quoting you, but I think I'm going to get it right, that we included over the time, a lot of things into our system to improve outcomes. And, you know, we looked at a lot of those things that were added into to help, and some of those, outcomes, were adjusted. We look at where we sit as an education system. That's our job. Our job is to look at data. Where do we sit, and where do we get to? Several people read missions, goals, and visions. Those are things that we wrote. We were part of a team that wrote it, I guess I should say. So that's what we want. Like, that's what we're looking for, and how do we get there? I look how adjustments were made in the CTE arena, Leah, how many adjustments did you all make in your to improve the outcomes for the student, to add programs in? Leah would come up here and she'd be like, okay, you know, here's what we want to do next. Here's what we're thinking of doing. And she comes up here and presents it, and we all talk about it, and we all look at it, and then we go yay or nay, you know. And so Leah's been able to do a lot of great stuff through CTE in that. We looked at the math curriculum, and we were looking at we weren't seeing the outcomes in math that we were hoping to see. So we looked at the math curriculum, which led to a change in the math curriculum, of which many of you are using right now. It was an adjustment that was made. Reading curriculum was the same thing. Many of you are aware we just switched from to an HMH. Am I saying it right? HMH. Reading curriculum. It was an adjustment that had to be made. Why? Because from our level, the outcomes were not meeting those visions, missions, and goals for which we set forth. So just as we've done over the years, we're in a position where we're going to have to make some adjustments. So when I listen to everybody here, sometimes putting stuff on paper, sometimes looking at stuff, and then seeing it play out can have a very different impact on how you view things. And so I want to thank you all for doing that, for sharing your hearts, sharing your thoughts, and sharing that's what's important. Because for us to make a decision up here, if you didn't show up, we wouldn't know. You're right. And some people said about us being in a classroom, it's not feasible for us to live in your classroom. I don't think most of you would want us to live in your classroom, and it's not really a feasible thing to do. But had you not come in, we never would have seen that. We never would have known that. So when we make some of these adjustments and things come up, we value that input, because without it being a two-way street, you have someone up here sitting at a 30,000 foot that cannot see what you can see, and that's just true. So to the questions that the person asked, I suggest we're going to have to make some adjustments. What those adjustments look like Brian said, there's no decisions and there's nothing made, but our goal, her last part, was we ensure we do not have a decrease in achievement, and that's what we're seeking. We're seeking to all make a decision that has a decrease in whether achievement or, as you all indicated, the emotional well-being of the students. So, thank you.
I think that you made some excellent points, citing the adjustments in CTE and the math curriculum, and I do want to underscore that those all came from recommendations from certified staff, from our administrators, and we as boards, we took those and we heard those recommendations and then we approved those recommendations. So I think that all of these recommendations that we keep hearing, not just from our administrators and our teaching staff and our community members and our families, about maintaining our SEL at the strength that we currently have it, I think that we need to not just hear those recommendations, but also act on those recommendations. And then also, I think there might be an opportunity for folks that are on this board to have a feasible classroom experience, we need substitute teachers. And here's So I think it would be meaningful classroom experience. You would be able to engage with SEL curriculum. And then you could do this in other school districts so you wouldn't be in conflict with Monroe Public Schools' employment expectations. So I would think that Jefferson would welcome you. I'm sure that Bedford would welcome you. I'm sure Airport would welcome you. Anybody can tell you that there is a shortage for, and I am fairly certain that all of us on this board meet the minimum requirements for substitute teacher certification, and I'm not joking, because we all have bachelor's degrees, and I'm sure Cindy could even answer the questions that we have if we wanted to get our paperwork all set up.
I can check that box already. I have been a substitute teacher in the Adrian Public School District, and it is a great experience, 100%.
When did that happen?
It's been a while. I'm not going
to
say
I encourage you to do it post-COVID.
That's a
point taken.
Hold on a second. That's a great zinger line. Thanks for getting on that one. Okay. A lot of people mentioned us not being in the classroom, and I want to offer this straight up. I haven't been asked to be in any classrooms as a school board member. I would welcome coming to – that's not true. I personally have never received an invitation. I've been taken on tours. Right, I'm doing it. Sorry. I am doing that already. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm doing that. But I'm saying if you want us to be in the classroom, I'll try to make an arrangement to be there. So challenge accepted.
I will too.
I think any of us really would.
Yeah.
See, now you're all going to have to invite us into your classroom because we'll be waiting, so thank you.
It's easy to get a hold of all of us. B-O-E at Monroe. Right. Same.
Any further discussion on SEL? If not, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. So the only other item was state physical monitoring, and again, our next update on that will be on the 24th of this month.
Okay.
Okay.
We don't have anything
else
to
say
for that.
No.
Okay. We didn't have the. Never mind. I'll just move on.
Okay.
That's all right.
That's the end of our old business. I'll turn over to Superintendent Shaw for his second comments.
So, all right, we're about ready to hit our second Friday the 13th coming up. Yep, a couple of short days away here. It is a half day of school for students, teacher records day in the afternoon. That evening, for those that would like to take part, we have our Moonlight Masquerade. That is our gala, support kindness initiatives inside of our district. National Reading Month is ongoing throughout our district. And so you saw a paper that's held up, and so we appreciate all the all that's going on inside our buildings and opportunities for us to go in and read. March 18th, beautiful night right there. It's our future chef night hosted over at Custer. So if you want to take part in that and you haven't signed up, please see Jamie on the way out. So that way, if you want to come in and judge or if you just want to show up and hang out over there, it's a pretty cool event. And then spring musical, Mary Poppins, next March 20th through the 22nd. So Friday and Saturday are 7 o'clock. Sunday is at 2 o'clock. That's all I have, sir.
Thank you.
I think you said the chef, we can watch for me.
Yes, come and watch.
I'm going to watch.
It was fun.
It's fun to.
Thank you.
It's fun to judge it. They're very creative.
They do a great job, too, actually.
What time is it?
They do a great job, actually. Yeah.
What time is that?
It's really good.
I think it starts at 5. 5?
Yeah.
5 or
5:30. 5:30? Yes.
Okay.
If you just text me, Harry, and let me know.
Sure.
Get,
okay. Yeah. Then we're on to public commentary, any topic.
Yes, Mr. Heck, I have three of those.
Okay.
And we are going to start off with Bill Lavoie.
Hello, Monroe Public Education Board and audience, and obviously the audience and the public, too. I'm here for a couple reasons, as I wrote in the request to speak. First, about SEL. I think the conversations have been great on that. I'm reminded of Newton's third law of motion, for those of you who follow physics. To every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Just a reminder that that happens in life in lots of places also. And then secondly, about Orchard, and I know that wasn't really a topic on here, but as someone whose family was very instrumental in starting that school, I'm very concerned over any kind of cuts and possible negative changes, because I understand the fiscal responsibility that you all have on the board. But I just feel that you really need to focus on the community that's around that school, as well as, I didn't hear a lot of that from any of the board members, and maybe I just missed it because it was a hot room and I was talking to other people in the back. But I think when you're talking about changing things because of fiscal reasons, you need to understand that people aren't numbers, right? And I think most of you probably do, but when you discuss it in in budget cuts and dollars and even classroom sizes, I think it gets lost. The community piece gets lost. And I'm just concerned that that's what's going to happen with some of these discussions in the future. So I just urge you to please consider the effects of the community when you're making some of these cuts. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Bill.
I apologize if we get these last two out of order, but I have Yvonne Ettinger first.
Hello. I, too, was here last night, and I was just blown away by the number of people who were here commenting on SEL. I know I'm probably the oldest person in the room, but back in our day, we did not seem to have any of these kinds of problems, you know, maybe a couple a year or something. And when my kids were going through Monroe schools, I don't remember hearing this. And I'm just wondering where the huge numbers of emotional and mental problems are coming from. I mean, do we have something in the water? Is it parents who aren't concerned? I know we have plenty of parents and teachers who have been here the last two nights, but I'm sure there are a lot of parents whose children use the services who have not been here to speak. I also have concerns about marijuana. You can't walk down the street or drive or walk into a store without being overcome by marijuana. And I know that parents could not buy it for their children, but if they're home smoking and their kids are breathing it in, that can't be good, and that may be affecting behaviors. I was wondering if we offer any counseling or parenting classes to those whose children need the extra services. I know if you're autistic, you're probably getting other services or information elsewhere, too. I have all kinds of scribbled notes. Back to Orchard, I thought, as Mr. Lavoie, I think, was implying, that that school was designed to serve students who did not feel that they fit in the big high school, and I wonder if this shift would be detrimental to those students. Let's see.
You got 1 minute.
Okay. I guess generally it's a question of a societal breakdown is the way I'm looking at it. I mean, we didn't have so many problems back then. Certainly the COVID lockdown had an effect. I know I have a 21-year-old grandson who certainly felt those effects when he couldn't do his building and technical classes because you can't do that online. So I guess those are my concerns. And what else? I guess that basically covers it. Thank you. Oh, how many students do we have at Orchard now?
So, I'll talk to you afterwards.
Okay. Oh, all right.
I knew the number. I looked it up.
All right. Some many answers.
Well, some are virtual.
Yeah, there was 86 students with 157 virtual. And those virtuals were varied. Yeah. I looked that up today.
Thanks, Yvonne.
Okay, thank you.
And then I have Chris Sharp. We'll wait for him.
Okay. Okay.
That is all.
That is it. Okay. Thank you. Board member commentary. Tell you what. We'll start with Stacy. Any comments tonight?
I just appreciate everybody being here, hearing from many of you, especially the parents and the students that were here. That's important for you guys to be here.
Gary?
No, I have no comment.
And Mary? Darla?
Are you going to be next?
I'll go to you next.
I don't have anything. Thanks for coming.
Okay. I want to echo what Stacy said. I want to thank everybody for coming both last night and tonight. Certainly, it's been welcome to see so many people. I wish we had crowds like this at every board meeting so that we understood what the public their opinions are on not just the SEL, but all the issues that we have ongoing at Monroe Public Schools. And just to the request for us to student teach or substitute teach, my wife is a retired teacher, and I think she would have a fit if she thought I went into a classroom. I'll just put it that way. Engineers do not do well in classrooms. So that's all I have for tonight. So that concludes our agenda. Our next regular Board of Education meeting will be held on Tuesday, March 24th, 2026, and will begin at 5:30 p.m. A board work session will be held on Monday, March 23rd, 2026, beginning also at 5:30 p.m. So can I get a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Can I get support?
Support.
Show of hands. Monroe Public Schools Board of Education meeting for Tuesday, March 10th, 2026 is adjourned, and the time is 8:50 p.m.